Hi, I'm Terry Snowden. Welcome to the Forever Mancunians series here on the Forever Manchester podcast platform. In each episode, we bring you an interesting and inspirational conversation with local people doing extraordinary things in our communities. Today, we're going to be finding out all about the unique international alliance for Withinshaw Mums in the company of my guests, Sharon and Greg Davis. I'm having a chat about the development of the very unique Mums Mart that's based at Brownlee Green Methodist Church in Benchill in Withinshaw. Sharon and Greg, welcome.
Thank you.
Mums Mart is a great community story in its own right. So who wants to get the ball rolling?
Mums Mart came from a bit of a winding story, but I'll condense it. It's use your imagination. It's a very cold February morning. I'm taking the kids to school late, as we usually did. And one of the young mums is in the playground screaming. And there was two adults in the playground. One was this woman who was going through a very unfortunate time in her life. And what the other adult was me. And I thought, I can't say, are you all right? Because clearly she's demonstrably not all right. And I went up to her out of obligation, really, moral obligation, and said, I can see you're not very well, but is there anything I can do? Can I help in any way? And she went through. Her kids were being bullied. The eldest was on drugs. And just about every kind of nightmare scenario any parent anywhere in the world would want to experience. And really, as a kind of me wanting to leave, really, but wanting to show a bit of compassion, said, well, you've described every parent's worst nightmare, and I'm sure it won't just be you feeling like this, but I'm sure if you asked other parents, we'd all got the same worries, we've all got the same fears. And why don't we get together with a few other parents and see if we can resolve the issues amongst us? And she agreed, and we spoke to a few people, and we set up a meeting, very short proximity at the United States Brownlee Green Methodist Church, where we're based. And we expected 7-8 people, and 30-odd people turned up.
So did it become a formal thing very quickly, or is it just informal?
We all sat round and had the discussion about
just problems,
what everybody's fears were, what their problems were, and it was like everybody was more or less the same boat, you know, sort of suffering with debt, mental health issues,
housing.
There was a lot of domestic violence within the group. So we were like, well, okay, what are we going to do? What can we do about this as women? I was knitting. Another one of the girls was making candles and wax melts and stuff. And yeah, so we okay. Let's get ourselves organised and let's have a little market and make some money and take the kids out for the day.
I think that was the main issue. Is they said there's nothing for the kids to do, and we feel as if we're missing out because we see people going on days out.
The kids didn't socialise outside of school.
Yeah,
did they?
Yeah, with the children and we can't. Which is, you know, we as a parent, we would feel if you're not providing for your kids in the way, say, your neighbours are, then you do feel awful. I mean, I feel awful if my kids, I feel, are being left out of fun activities. And I think one of the main reasons we put the market on in the first instance was just to raise a bit of cash. I mean, you will know how hard it is, as I know, and Sharon knows how hard it is. Raising cash isn't easy. So I think if you can provide a structure or begin to put in place structures where you can make your own finances. And we did a fairly decent job,
So was the idea of the markets to generate some income that could then be put back into
days out, basically. Bottom line,
days out.
Sorry,
I was just going to say, we got chatting to one of the neighbours, Italian guy in the neighbourhood, and he worked driving the buses at Manchester Airport.
Did it in his accent?
No. And so got chatting to him about it, and he mentioned it to his boss, and his boss said, okay, we'll pay you your day's pay.
Take the bus.
And so we all went to Blackpool with the Manchester
In a big bus.
So yeah, Manchester Airport, one of the drivers,
the Blackpool for the day.
His bus.
And it was all the impetus we needed.
His boss just said, yeah, take the bus for the day and have fish and chips.
We had
a
great day if on the premise that if one kid had an ice cream, everybody had an ice cream. If anybody had a lollipop or a candy floss or a stick of rock, everybody had the same.
I think that the saddest thing was there was one girl, and she'd never been out of Withinshaw.
That's right.
She'd never seen the sea. and you know, that was really sad, wasn't it? And them kids absolutely loved that.
But
beach,
I think not unique,
they?
I think that's a fairly typical, but the poignant moment for me must have been the second one we did, which was probably Blackpool again. And I'm driving, we had three minibuses, as I remember, and I'd said to one of the young women, in fact, it was the young woman that started the whole adventure by having the meltdown in the school playground. And we'd had a great day, it really was a fabulous day, everybody had enjoyed it, and we're on our way back to Manchester. And I said to her, what one word would you use to describe us as a bunch of people? And there must have been an easy 30 of us, at least, adults and children. And I was expecting something really upbeat and something really kind of just a grand word. And she said, and she thought about it, and she said, survivors. And it really deflated me for a while. I thought, is that the best you can come up with? And obviously I didn't react to it.
I thought that's a positive.
Well, only retrospectively did I think, yeah, actually. And the more I pondered it, I thought, yeah, actually, now I understand what you mean. We are survivors. But I think the contrast was we'd had such a fabulous day and all the kids were dead happy and we'd all got bags of candy floss. And I wanted something grand. And when she said we're survivors, it kind of, I want more than that. I want us to be more than, yes, I do understand it now, but I think it typifies inner city areas, and Withenshaw being just one example of many, is to describe yourself as a survivor. Yes, fabulous, okay, it is a positive. But can we have a bit, what about the whistles and the bells sometimes as well?
So, as a result of confronting this upset mum, Sharon gets involved, you round up other, all similar issues, all struggling.
Yeah.
Struggling.
Yeah.
And you bring everyone together.
Yep.
And that's Mum's Mart.
That's how Mum's Mart started.
Mum's Mart. Yeah. What happened then? Because obviously it's still going to this day. And
yeah, well, it was...
I think we got the offer.
We just carried on, didn't we?
No, I think we got the offer of a trip to Scotland came next. And it was a week away. Terry, that sounds like quite a lot of organising, to be honest. We took a bus full, so it must have been 50 of us, because it was a full coach. So... I said to Shaz, do you fancy organising a trip to Scotland if I can sort the finance? Shaz went, yeah, if you've got the money, I'll do it. And I thought, well, that's a great idea. It'll be a Mum's Mart thing, and we'll try and do it every year. We did it twice, didn't we?
We did do it twice, yeah.
But you've got to ask her what happened, or the story behind how you went to Africa with a Mum's Mart, because that, now there's a story.
I believe as a Mum's Mart, you undertake fact-finding missions. Does this involve trips, Sharon?
Yeah, Through Sheffield University and Manchester University researchers, we met with a group from South Africa originally who came to Manchester to do some teaching, and we learnt all about their savings schemes, how they got the money to have sanitation put into their slums and shacks and things. And then Sheffield said, oh, right, so are you interested in savings groups? Yeah, why not?
Yeah, chimes a bell.
You're not going to go to the bank with a pound, but you'll give me a pound and I'll keep it for you. And those pounds build up over the weeks. But the point of the savings schemes is it's not really about the money. It's about the women coming together, and I hate this word, but empowering each other and supporting each other. So now we started in 2017, I think, as the savings scheme. And so we've been to South Africa, and then the Kenyans got wind of it and they were like, oh, no, come to Kenya. We do it better. So
fighting over you.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, through the university and the researchers we were working with, we went to Kenya, but in between that, we'd done a lot of exchanges with other women's groups across Manchester and got them involved in saving schemes. So our group grew bigger and bigger. So I think we've got four saving schemes across Manchester.
And there's a couple of new Mum's Marts we found out about.
Yes, yeah,
that's great. That's great. But yeah, they did nick our name. But there's a couple more Mum's Marts now.
Yeah.
Very proud of the fact you've been to Africa now four...
Yeah, four times.
And each time you bring back an idea which kind of resonates with...
There was, when we were in South Africa, we were in a meeting in one of the slums, and the mayor was there, and she gave this great speech, and she was like, we think of you as being rich, she said, but you're not. She said, you're as poor as us. You know, they've got nothing, and they're battling the same issues that women here are battling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Being evicted from their homes, just wanting safety for their children.
Yeah, and security.
Yeah. The depression, the mental health issues. And in Africa, it's the women that front everything.
It's an astounding story because, I mean, if you look at a microcosm of that's an international concern for women across the world. Nonetheless, Africa, but nonetheless in Withenshaw and Crumpsall and Blakely and Mossad, you know, we all have very, very similar, maybe a twist of the cultural dial, but very similar. I mean, going back to the meltdown of the young mum in the school playground, and the comment was that you've got every fear that every parent has ever had, and only by expressing and speaking to other people with the same, are we ever going to find solutions to our problems? Because believe you me, nobody else from outside is going to help us.
The thing is with that lady is it was through Mum's Mart that she actually found the strength to leave that abusive relationship. Because we were helping her with it.
I think what resonated most with me and why I was keen to kind of initiate, through you, of course, Shaz, because I think it was a lot of hard work and, you know, me and hard work sometimes don't go hand in hand.
That's all.
But it was the unity, and if it's probably not a word, but the togetherness. And I think what resonated really strongly was the initial group we met from Africa. They wanted sanitation put in a village. And when I say shantytown, I do mean shantytown. It was like Whittle and Daub huts, wasn't it? I mean, it was everything you imagine a kind of 19th century African village to look like township. And it went to the government, who unceremoniously just said no. And I'm thinking, well, we have the same problems with our council because we have some marvellous ideas. Approach the council thinking everybody's going to love this, and it never even gets off the page.
Well, there's one common issue then, isn't it? One shared
issue. Absolutely. Yeah.
Another one that's springing to mind, and this, I think perceptions play a big part as well, yeah? There seems to be an underlying perception that people might arrive at an initial conclusion that if you were to go to Africa, it's actually to deliver some sort of help and support to the people that you're going to see.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is,
we need all our ideas. That's the reality.
Come back with more ideas.
Of course, yeah.
That benefit these communities, which is a real, for me, that's fascinating. I also know that the organisation that you work with is called Slum Shack Dwellers International.
SDI, yeah.
SDI, Slum Shack Dwellers International. So this is about engaging and meeting and sharing the experiences of people who actually live in slums and shacks.
Yeah, yeah.
And they obviously must be dab hands at responding to their local needs or the needs of their women in their communities because they've got bags of experience. Living their everyday lives.
Yeah, it's like the beginning of the pandemic, wasn't it? And grassroots, like they hit the ground running, and grassroots organisations like us.
We responded straight away.
The big companies were like, "Oh, what do we do?
Spend it on a consultant is what they did.
Yeah.
Whereas we were working
straight through. Fixing food,
we're at the coal face,
making
aren't
sure
we?
People were fed. Mm. I mean, we ran one of our cars into the ground, didn't we?
We
had to scrap it in
the end. Did.
Yeah. But that's what
but
we're doing.
It's that, it's coming together which is dual purpose, because in terms of problem solving, bringing people together is always a great idea.
Yeah.
Shared problems, shared solutions. So they developed a pot of money, the saving scheme, but it was only by coming together, it was only by the community coming together and contributing. So yes, the finances are important, but when the mayor or whoever was the local government officials saw £1,000, they actually saw 1,000 people. So yes, the money's important, but it was the coming together and unity. And that for me, I thought, well, that's what we've got to do in Withenshaw. We've got to bring people together.
So you're replicating projects and schemes and initiatives from elsewhere.
I often use the analogy of Bug's Life when Flick loses all the food, the grasshopper's food, and they send him off to find rescuers, and he comes back with what he thinks are warriors, because that's the name of the circus band. And then the realisation when 10 grasshoppers jump in and, you know, the bully in the ants, and suddenly Flick goes, hold on, there's only 10 of you, there's 10 million of us. And that's when the grasshoppers think, damn, they've found us out.
If we could do that across the country, where would we be?
Exactly.
Do you think that the systems and the authorities and the system gets it right?
Not at all.
I don't think they care, to be honest. They've got all the finances to get it wrong as many times as they want, so why not? I mean, put yourself in that position. You've got as much financial support as you need. You can get it wrong forever.
And do you think that that's not necessarily a national issue, but more of a global
issue? Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, as you've said, I mean, the same problems that the women and the mums, the families are experiencing the other side of the world in Africa, yeah, where the sun shines more often than it does here, and very similar problems to that the mums and the dads, obviously, for that matter, the families, rather, are experiencing in this country as well. I mean, again, with a twist of the cultural dial, and maybe the climate's different, but is it that different, really? Are we that different, really?
I read somewhere, or perhaps somebody told me, you were the first registered mum's mart in the Northern Hemisphere. Is that wrong or right, or is not
we
true?
We were the first savers community in the global
constituted
north,
with a certificate. Yeah. It's a real accolade. I mean, Saz don't talk enough about it, and I think you should encourage you to say a bit more, to be fair. But yeah, it's
not
accolade.
Just me, it's the whole of mum's mart.
But we were the first.
We were the first.
Outside of African nations.
So for clarification, you were the first mum's mart.
Yes.
And you were also the first savings scheme in the north.
In the global north.
In the global north. Yeah.
What an accolade, and we've still not won any kind of medals or anything yet.
I'll be a dame one day.
Have you got any standout stories of the impact that Mum's Mart has had on people?
Oh, too many, really. We've got the playground incident. We've got a very close friend I've known for close on 30 years when we did Mums and Tots originally, years and years ago.
30 years, goodness gracious.
And, you know, the kids grew up, we lost contact, saw each other on Facebook a little bit, and she won't mind me saying, I'm not going to say her name, but she had a complete mental breakdown as she was wandering the streets in her pyjamas in the pouring down rain, got sectioned, actually works for the NHS, and because she was still classed as working, even though she was only on sick pay, she couldn't access any food and couldn't feed her kids and her husband, and because he was in a menial job, and so she came to us, and so she's heavily involved in Mum's Mart.
She said something on the lines of, "If it hadn't have been for you, I wouldn't be here." And you think to yourself, it's too grand an accolade, or it's too big a pressure to put on. You know, we do what we do because we love doing it, and I enjoy people. But I think the question for me, I find it a difficult question, because when somebody says that, I've heard it, people say, if it wasn't for you, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know where I'd be. This sounds really horrible, and I hope it makes sense to somebody. I don't want that responsibility, really. I don't want it for, if it wasn't for us collectively or the group.
Because we'd do it for anybody.
We would, and that's an absolute fact. And I enjoy the work, and it sometimes is very long hours, and it is.
Mm. We work closely. We have a community savers network that all the other groups that save, and we go on a retreat every July. There was a girl at the last one, and we were just sat round talking one night, all chatting away, and she said, "You don't remember me, do you?" So I said, no, should I? She went, "During the pandemic, you brought me quite a bit of food round." So I said, "No, I don't recognise you." Anyway, she went, "You really, really saved me through that." And I was like, oh my God, you know, and there's me just, "I don't recognise you, I'm really sorry," and it was just like, oh, that's really sweet, that. So yeah, it's nice to be recognised, but it is cringeworthy when you're in front of other people and people are praising you, like, shut up now.
If you do it for the love of people, you do it for the love of, and not wanting anybody to experience pain or hardship, if that's your main motivation, I think it does make you feel a little bit uncomfortable when somebody says, "If it wasn't for you," and then there's obviously more words at the end of that.
Mum's Mart is very much a needs must operation, quite a sad reflection, really, on the modern world that we live in, I suppose, and the circumstances and the situations that people find themselves living in and having to deal with. Since you started it, have you had to learn as you go along?
Learn everything as we go. There's no textbook, is there?
Yeah, there isn't any.
You've told us you get approached from other areas, or you meet other areas, and you've now come together as a bigger thing, yeah?
Yeah.
I guess that you're part of the good stuff that goes on in any local community. And I suppose it takes maybe a bit of courage for someone to get in touch with you and engage with you. How do you approach someone attending for the first time? Do they get introduced to you? Do you find them? I don't suppose there's any PR and promotion goes on here.
No, it's a lot through Facebook. dark, isn't it?
Oh, that's the magic charm. But we've got a very visible building, haven't we?
Yeah,
we've got music rooms, and I mean, we've done as much as we possibly can. And this, I mean, a lot of the things happen not by design, but by chance with us. But I think one of the things we have put a bit of effort into is making our building look homely and welcoming and warm. And it's very difficult in this economic climate, let me assure you.
Yeah, I met a lady a couple of years ago at the Pankhurst Centre. She was volunteering there. She had just got out of a bad relationship. And she lived in Withinshaw. So I said, come down, come on Friday. You know, we'd get chippy or sandwiches or something to eat. And she come in and she had a chat and we were all chatting away and we had lunch and everything. And she went, do you know what? She said, it's been years since I've felt so welcome. She said, it's just like I've been friends with you all for years.
Has it been enjoyable?
Yes, immensely. Yeah. Every minute of it.
I was going to say, I guess like every debit has a credit, every negative has a positive. Is it just endless hard work, or is there some satisfaction and enjoyment there?
It's long days, but I think the support we've got from unlikely sources is always a very pleasant surprise. The problem I have is the sources that you would expect to support us just don't, because we're this unknown commodity. I mean, we collectively, the Mum's Mart, the gym, the music for cities, the urban collective, we come under a banner of inner city culture. And there's a huge, you know, you can't deny there's an inner city culture. Go to any inner city area and you will come across a culture which is very diverse. And when we allow the pillars of society what this word diversity is, well, yeah, I understand, but it's not the same diversity that I live, right? So the definition of diversity, and then this diversity that me and Shaz actually live in and breathe and get up in the morning and enjoy, totally different beasts. Where's the inner city cultural centres? And I think the only thing really, if you want to boil it down to this mad bucket of frogs that is us, is what have we done? Well, we've looked at what is inner city culture and we've developed stuff from within, not outside. And again, what's disappointing is the agencies that are out there that claim to support groups like us kind of don't, and our support comes from like really unlikely sources.
I think it's a case of being proudly independent as well.
I think there's an element of that, yeah, and a bit sulky as well, Terry.
How do you see the future, brighter or tougher?
It's a challenge at the moment. It's getting through kind of, it's almost week by week at the moment. I mean, we've got a lot that goes on. I mean, you can't isolate it down to a project. The music room looks after itself. The dance room looks after itself. The gym looks
Mum's
after itself.
Mum's Mart got the flat renovation. We've got a derelict flat to renovate. And it is going to be a safe space for women. And the women's groups across Withinshaw will be able to use it for free.
Can I just mention, we are
part of a wider network in Withinshaw called Women of Withinshaw that's fairly new.
Wow.
So I think there's about eight different women's groups and we've all come together. And our main thing we're fighting at the moment is housing, getting better housing for people. And there's been a few short videos of people telling their story on camera, and one housing group have absolutely bricked it and contacted trustees with, oh dear, we didn't realise our housing was that bad. So
I guess they probably did, but it's until people come together.
But that's it. We're bringing these women together and we're going to be a force to be reckoned with, let me tell you.
Oh, and you don't want to reckon with that force, let me tell
but
you.
The point was acknowledged, shall we put it that way?
Yes,
Listen, it's been a pleasure to chat to you both today.
And mutual, Terry, mutual.
Can I wish you everything you do at Mum's Mart and everyone you engage and influence. Every good luck, Sharon and Greg Davis.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Forever Mancunians. If you like the show, please follow us in your podcast app and, if you have time, leave us a review. To find out how you could work with Forever Manchester, show your support, receive a newsletter, or make a donation, check out forevermanchester.com.